I'm sure most of you who listen to this sermon are very familiar with English. Actually, English is still unfamiliar and difficult for me. However, I'm not at all uncomfortable when speaking, writing, listening, or reading Korean. Of course, Korean is my mother tongue. It's been a little over 5 years since I came to America. English is still one of the most difficult challenges for me. Let me tell you about how I speak English. First, what I want to say comes to mind. Of course, it's Korean. I then immediately translate it into English using all my grammar and experience. In fact, the shorter this process is, the better my English is. Before speaking with my mouth, it goes through one more step. I have to decide whether to translate word for word or sense for sense. This is a very important step because this step serves as an important bridge between Korean and English. If this bridge goes wrong, communication will probably be difficult. After all these steps, I finally speak through my mouth. This is how I speak in English. And also vice versa. The process of listening and reading English is the same. Anyway, I realized something important in this process. I'm not just standing between two different words, but I'm trying to connect to different cultures, Korean and American. In order to communicate accurately a sufficient understanding of the two different cultures is necessary. It is not just a matter between English and Korean. Think of the Bible that we often come to with ease. You should be aware that the Psalms, like any other book in Old Testament, has thousands of years of time, language, and cultural differences separating us. The Book of Psalms is one of the most fascinating books in the Bible and one of the most read and quoted by Christians. But you should be aware that the depth of interpretation of the Psalms is as profound as its beauty. Thankfully, we have easy access to abundant and various tools for reading and studying the Psalms today. We need to take full advantage of these tools and get their help. The reason why we can read the Psalms and connect that message to our lives today may be in part thanks to the help of these tools, but above, it is thanks to the fact that God was the same then as He is now. The unchanging God, who is still with us then and now, is intervening in our lives. When we enter the world of Psalms, it is important that we first understand what Psalms are like. The Book of Psalms has supplied to believers some of their best loved Bible passages. It is a collection of 150 poems that express a wide variety of emotions, including love and adoration toward God, sorrow over sin, dependence on God in desperate circumstances, devotion to the Word of God, and confidence in the eventual triumph of God's purpose for the world. We must first acknowledge that a psalm is poetry. Do you like poetry? Perhaps everyone likes poetry. I believe poetry has a special ability to turn the ordinary into something special. It's like making familiar things unfamiliar. I think poetry serves to awaken our dual senses. In that sense, I believe that the Psalms may be able to reawaken our dual spiritual senses. The Book of Psalms, the English title, comes from the Greek word psalmos, which translates Hebrew word mizmor, meaning melody or song, found in many of the psalm titles and simply translated as psalm. The Hebrew name for the Book of the Psalms is Tehillim, meaning songs of praise. Therefore, the Psalms were written not merely as poems, but as songs for singing in public worship. So, the Book of Psalms is like kind of a book of lyrics for singing praise. Unfortunately, we don't have any sheet music left today, so we can't sing along with the melody. On the other hand, what's interesting is that some people today have composed every psalm for singing. It's amazing. Perhaps Psalm chapter 119 will be the longest song in the world. There are 176 verses. You have to memorize it all and sing it. Anyway, when you read the Psalms, you need to carefully observe the characteristics of the book. If you don't approach the Psalms as poetry, you will struggle with theological issues quite a bit. You are likely to misunderstand God's nature. In particular, you can see how the writer of a psalm deals with enemies. It seems to be contrary to Jesus' teaching to love your enemies. Making us wonder, is God a fickle? Naturally, the Psalms provide a rich theological basis and make up the most portion of the Old Testament books most quoted in the New Testament. Nevertheless, the Psalms are not for systematic theology. Psalms are desperate prayer, honest confession, and intense praise. Also, of course, the Psalms are the holy word of God passed down to us. One of the reasons why I personally like Psalms is that many of them are outspoken in expressing human emotions and feelings before God without any hesitation. The Psalms contain a variety of human emotions and reactions to God, such as fear, sorrow, suffering, grief, lament, groaning, anger, joy, gratitude, satisfaction, cheer, and praise. Through these candid expressions, I can name any uncomfortable feelings suppressed in me and express my heart in an unexpected way. I believe this has an important role in our life of faith. Just because you are a Christian doesn't always make you happy. We are not always kind to people like gentle sheep. Sometimes we are angry, sometimes discouraged, sometimes frustrated, sometimes screaming. Sometimes we have deep sadness. These are just natural feelings and normal reactions as human beings. But how you deal with these issues is important. Will you solve the problem yourself or will you seek God's help? The Psalms show how to deal with these issues by taking them to God. If you simply categorize Psalms into two parts, it is actually more diverse, but you say there are Psalms of praise and Psalms of lament. These Psalms represent the human response to the presence and absence of God. Psalms of praise generally focus on the nature of God and God's work in the world. They tell about God's attributes and encourage the believer to praise Him for His goodness, righteousness, judgment, and wisdom. They often refer to playing music or singing and rejoicing. We naturally praise as we experience God's presence and are full of His love and grace. Psalms of lament respond to a crisis, grief, or despair. This type of psalm expresses that God is present with us even when human beings cannot discern His presence in the world. Often, this is in the middle of great suffering. In fact, these two types of psalms respond from one truth. The truth is that human beings are longing for the presence of God. Therefore, lament in the Psalms is not disrespectful before God, but rather is an expression and candid confession that strongly acknowledges God's existence and acknowledges human weakness. In his commentary on the Psalms, John Calvin referred to the Psalms as an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. He meant that a psalm is like a mirror through which we are able to look into all aspects of our human life. Through the Psalms, we are able to look deeper into ourselves. I think this is part of the beauty of the Psalms. Today, we are going to look at Psalm chapter 1. The first Psalm serves as the gateway into the entire book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 1 is generally regarded as a prelude representing the entire book of Psalms. So, Psalm chapter 1 tells us what the whole psalm says and what direction it takes. The first psalm is like the key to entering the world of Psalms. I'm going to read Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Another version, Common English Bible, says, the truly happy person, the truly happy person. It is used as interjection, like, oh, happy man. Oh, the happiness of the man. Like that. In the Old Testament, the word blessed is used to translate two different Hebrew words, both barak or asher. This can make the word blessed difficult to define with precision. But if we understand both the Hebrew words translated as blessed, we can start to get a sense of what the word means. The Hebrew word barak means literally to kneel, to bless, or to praise. Barak refers to a man who adores God, kneeling before him and offering him praise. Barak can also refer to God, who benefits man with his presence. The other word translated blessed is the Hebrew word asher, which indicates a state of happiness. This word occurs frequently in the Psalms and Proverbs. In Psalm chapter 1, blessed is this Hebrew word asher. Most translations translate the Hebrew word asher as either happy or blessed. Neither one is perfect. But in a real sense, to be blessed by God is to be truly happy. And to be happy is to know God's blessing. In Korea, people tend to accept happiness and blessing as similar. You can use two words interchangeably. You can see this in the way non-Christians use the word blessing in Korea. Consider the common Korean New Year's greeting, 새해 복 많이 받으세요. It is awkward to translate it literally in English, but it essentially means have many blessings, New Year. Have many blessings, New Year. In this way, blessings are like the good fortune of wealth and health. These are the things people associate with a happy life. Without good fortune, without wealth and health, people don't think they are blessed and they feel unhappy. This is probably true not just in Korea. People all over the world seek happiness through what they have. However, it seems that there are not many people who feel fully happy. We may have the wrong idea about true happiness. However, when looking at the word blessed or happy throughout the Psalms, these are connected to forgiveness of sins, safety in the Lord, dwelling in the Lord, being satisfied with God, fullness of joy, walking with God, and walking in the light. It doesn't look like the idea of having wealth and health here. Blessing or happiness in the Psalms is a matter of who you are, not a matter of what you have. We can be more certain about this by looking at Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitudes Jesus mentioned have nothing to do with owning. Later, Jesus says it is a blessing to be poor, thirsty, mourning, and persecuted. Blessing or happiness is the matter of who you are, where you are, what you do, and who who you are with. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 clearly tells us who the truly happy person is. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We need to look at how some specific words relate to each other in verse 1. It is easy to find in the Hebrew Bible that the writer of Psalm chapter 1 intentionally placed words. First, let's look at the three verbs in verse 1. Walk, stand, and sit. Walking, standing, and sitting, which are related with something movement. The next words to look at are the counsel, the way, and the seat. The characteristics of these words are the factors that influence the direction where you are heading. The following three words, wicked, sinners, and scoffers, these are all wicked, but to put it more concretely, the wicked refers to immoral conduct. The sinners are sinners in terms of religion or faith. And the scoffers, they are those who intentionally reject and ignore God. They are moving towards being stuck to evil. These are the ones who determine the value and quality of your path and direction. Being the blessed man, happy person, has to do with your movement. The way you go, the direction, and the seat. Whether the righteous or the wicked, we all walk, stand, or sit somewhere. But when you walk a certain path, if you enjoy the advice of the wicked and follow it, you will soon enter the path of the sinners. It may seem like a sweet and attractive way to live. Standing in the sinner's path means that you are fully involved in the sinner's walk. Eventually, you will sit in the seat of the scoffers. The seat is a place of evil and is with them on the side of those who deliberately reject God. It will surely be a place of perishing, not happiness. Verse 1 sounds more like a warning rather than admiration. It seems to be shouting at us to return to the blessed place. If you are working in the advice of the wicked, you should stop right away. If you are standing in the sinner's path, you must get out of the way right away. If you are sitting in the seat of the scoffers, you also have to get up and get out of it right away. Verse 2 says that those who meditate on the law of the Lord day and night are blessed. It says that the joy of the blessed is in the law. In fact, the word ki'im, meaning only in the Hebrew Bible, is missing in the English version we have. So it can be interpreted that there is joy only in the law. It means that there is no other way than the law of the Lord. The book of Psalms is largely divided into five books. It follows the structure of the Torah, the five books of Moses. So the Lar means Torah as the whole word of God. That is why those who meditate on the word of God are blessed and truly happy. Here, the Hebrew word for the verb that means meditate is haggah. The word haggah doesn't mean simple meditation. The meaning of haggah is to roar, growl, or groan. It is like a lion in front of its prey growling excitedly. Have you ever given a big bone to your dog? The dog will look at the bone with excitement and rush to eat them right away. The dog is going to chew, bite, lick, and taste the bone and enjoy enough. And the dog will spend enough time with his bone for as long as possible. Imagine how happy the dog is. Hebrew word haggah, to meditate the word of God, is actually very active and dynamic. You should read, speak, hear, memorize, repeat, recite, and practice God's word into your life. Haggah is the act of chewing, biting, and tasting the word of God with your whole body. Let's look at verse 3. Blessed is a man. The truly happy person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The truly happy person is like a tree planted by streams of water. The word planted used in verse 3 is shatul in Hebrew word. Shatul means replanted, transplanted. The tree is actually a transplanted tree. In other words, it implies that the tree was once somewhere else, not by the streams of the water. You know, trees cannot move by themselves. Trees can only be transplanted or replanted by someone. This has very important theological meaning. Think of salvation. We cannot be saved by ourselves. It is only through the grace of God that we can be replanted next to the stream of life. Many people think they will be able to reach happiness in their own effort, but they seem to be unaware that happiness is only in the Lord. Let's go over verse 4 and 5. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away, like dust. That's why the wicked will have no standing in the court of justice, neither will sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Verse 6 is the conclusion of Psalm chapter 1. Considering that Psalm chapter 1 is the one that represents the entire book of Psalms, verse 6 could also be the conclusion of the entire Psalms. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." God knows the way of the righteous. The Hebrew word yada means deep knowing. It means deeper relational knowing each other. The Lord acknowledges, recognizes, and confirms the way of the righteous for sure. But the way of the wicked will perish. It doesn't mean that God destroys them, but they are destroyed by themselves. God is actually letting them alone, giving them over to their own destructive path. Romans chapter 1, 28 says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." Probably this is the most unfortunate, isn't it? The wicked destroy themselves because God leaves them alone. This is perhaps the most terrifying punishment. The wicked have no choice but to destroy themselves. Life without God is already nothing, a life that is perishing. It seems that I have read Psalm chapter 1 more than 100 times while preparing this sermon. It was easy to distinguish two contrasting words in Psalm chapter 1, such as the blessed and the not, the righteous and the wicked, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, the congregation of the righteous and the seed of scoffers, the tree and the chaff, blessed and perished. Every time I read Psalm chapter 1, I seemed to hear one voice: choose. There are two paths. What would you choose? The choice seems very easy. We know very well what to choose. But why are so many people unable to make the decision? Perhaps it is because people misunderstand the meaning of happiness. High salary, wealthy life, respected position, successful business, the seat of power, attractive appearance, health. Perhaps it is because people still think these things are happiness. We don't say these are happiness. Ironically, while denying the fact that these are the conditions for happiness, in reality, we do not stop trying to obtain happiness through them. Why? I think this is human nature, the inclination toward sin. In fact, it is true that humans cannot solve this problem themselves. You must acknowledge this truth that we cannot do anything without God and leave this matter up to God. That is why Jesus Christ died, was crucified, and rose again because of you, because of me, and because of us. His love and sacrifice guide us on the path to true happiness. In Him, we are planted by the stream. All we have to do is follow Him and listen. Look at yourself now. Who are you working with now? Where are you standing now? Are you happy?